The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
John chapter 4. We put myself on a schedule. We're trying to get to chapter 6 by Easter. And we're trying to make sure that it won't be as difficult as getting the chairs here by Easter. Can I have an amen? But someone said this morning, it'll be easier to get the chairs than to get to chapter 6. But watch, watch. We've established a lot of good things in chapter 4 already. And I hope that you spent some time going over chapter 4 like I asked, reading it from the woman's eye and reading it from Jesus' eye. I believe that many misinterpret what's going on in chapter 4 with the woman at the well. I believe that she is not as bad as some thinks, and she's certainly not as good as some think. So looking, I believe, from a prostitute's eye in John chapter 4 and looking at it from the Messiah's eye, she sees a prospect because she knows he's like no other Jew. And he sees a lost sheep. Understanding that, watch the conversation, and I think it may make a lot more sense to you. We've already established in verse 1 through 4 and laid out the progression that she goes through with Jesus, from Jew to Sir, to prophet, to the Christ, and how he appeals to each of her different aspects that comes through as a woman, her kindness, her curiosity, her desire, and her will. We've laid that out, so going through the rest of the book should be a little easier. So we begin with chapter 5, understanding that Jesus just said he had to go through Samaria. We have to look at it from the perspective that many of us have no desire to go through Samaria. We've lost that desire to want to go where the lost is. Because oftentimes a loss does not come in here until you have met them and some of their needs out there. So that brings us to chapter 4, verse 5. Then coming he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the plot of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. In Jewish history, that was a great point. Now, question for you. How many of the Jews of that time would ever put a foot in Samaria? None. Absolutely none. They looked at them as being half-breeds. The lowest aspect of society, because there was religious Jewish people that had married non-believers, and that's why they was pushed up to Samaria when the Jews came back from captivity. So not an Orthodox Jew anywhere would ever put foot in Samaria. Now, all of a sudden, here's Jesus going into Samaria, and who goes with him? Now, come on. That is absolutely ridiculous. Now, let's speak up with enthusiasm. And if you don't know, pretend like you know. Pastor's been teaching on this, so encourage me. Who else is in the land of Samaria with Jesus? The disciples. You know, disciples mean teachers, being taught by Christ, followers, leadership, those who had a special call to be with Christ. They are in Samaria with Christ. What do you think they're thinking? What be up? That's Hebrew. ESL. Ebonics as a second language. We got all kinds of classes here in the church. What do you think the disciples are thinking when Jesus says, hey, I got to go through Samaria? Traveling north from Judea, you go up to the the outskirts of Samaria, cross the Jordan up, and then cross the Jordan back over to come into Galilee, or vice versa. Traveling south, you come down to the northern part of Galilee, cross the Jordan, go down to the southern part of Samaria, cross back into Judea. No one touched. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, hey, I know we just started our public ministry, so let's get the rough stuff out the way. We're going to Samaria. Now, if you was one of the disciples, you had never put foot in Samaria yourself, know how all the other Jews think about Samaria, what's on your mind when you walk into Samaria? Come on, what would you be thinking? Is he out of his mind? We're just starting our ministry. People find out we're in Samaria, that's going to turn them off. They're not going to want to listen to us. And I love Jesus. Look what he does. Now, Jacob's well, verse 6, was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Can anyone tell me, Jewish counting, what is the sixth hour? Noon. 12, noon. Hottest part of the day. Been around the desert area in the day, 12, noon. Oh. Is that hot? Is that hot? Now, it says Jacob's well was there. Jacob's well was down below the city. So if you wanted water, you had to get up, walk down the hill, go to Jacob's well, get water, and then carry it back up to the city. So what is a woman doing going down in the middle of the day to get water? And many said, well, you know, her lifestyle, and because everyone knew her. We're going to find that out here in a minute. I mean, she was well known in the city. Said, well, you know, she's ashamed of her life, so all the women would go down early in the morning before the sun would get up, get the water, and carry it back up to their homes before it got hot. But here she comes at 12 noon. And they said, well, she would wait until all the other women went down and came back up because she was ashamed. I don't think so. Can I have an amen from somebody? Now, I think she is a prostitute. Now, if she's a prostitute, when does she get up? Well, don't be looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. You know, we get in church, we get real spiritual. Her hours are late. She don't get up till noon or so. So the first thing you got to do when you get up, you got to go get water. She didn't know that she was going down for a divine appointment. How many of you would probably be like the disciples? Ashamed to be in a city with half breeds, rejected by God, people. Are we prejudiced? Are we prejudiced? You think you and I aren't prejudiced? You know how prejudiced we are as a people? I'm talking about the world, people, man, woman. You know how prejudiced we are? Anytime we don't like someone or want to do something negative to them, we dehumanize them. Have you ever noticed that? We dehumanize. We didn't kill men or women. We kill bucks and squaws. We didn't kill Indian babies. We killed papooses. When we was fighting in Vietnam, we didn't kill men. We killed gooks. When we were dealing with slavery, we didn't enslave men or women. They was bucks. They was property. How do you get around not caring about someone who's not a believer? How do you dehumanize them enough that you don't care if they accept Christ or not because you are not concerned about it? What excuse do we make to dehumanize? I don't know. I'm black and I don't know what to call me. I changed names so many times. Last was African American. Give me an amen on that. I've only met really one African American in Bellevue. That's Rabbi Lappin. He's from Africa. Became an American citizen. He's whiter than white. Can I have an amen on that? Well, you know what? You die for a Nazi. Think God did? God died for blacks? Whites? Gooks? What do we convince ourselves? How do we convince ourselves not to care about the lost and not feel that desire that we must go to Samaria? I don't know. But if we are doing that, we need to find the answer, and that is to be controlled by the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to see that we must go as he went and not really care. But all of a sudden, man, here's the disciples. And what happened to the disciples when they got to Samaria, to the city of Sychar? What happened? Huh? Jesus sent them in town by themselves. He brings them down there, and then he says, hey, go get some lunch. And Jesus is weary. You mean to tell me that the Messiah is tired? Man, that blows me away. I mean, we're talking about God here. God gets weary? Do you and I get weary? I can't hear you. Does that stop us from doing ministry? Yes. Does Jesus get thirsty? We get thirsty. Think Jesus get tired of people like his disciples? Yeah. But sometimes isn't it all amazing how we would justify being quiet? Now that's wisdom at being quiet at times. Like at work when you're supposed to be doing your job. Do your job. Witness on the break. Before work, after work. That shows a good Christian. Shows a good employee. Well, they just don't like me. You know, because I'm a Christian. No, they don't like you because you don't work. You know, but the Bible should not be personal. Because if it's personal, you and I got to make some decisions. And in the middle of being weary, in the middle of the day, here comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. And I think we've explained that well. Well, I think she's there. Others can have other opinions, but they have the right to be wrong. Jesus said unto her, could you give me a drink? Could you please give me a drink? You know Jesus is smooth. If you ever just read the life of Christ, just read the red letters in your Bible. Just check out Jesus. He's always smooth. Collective, just a brother. Can I have an amen? Jesus, excuse me. Could you give me a drink? Can't you just see him? Huh? Can you see him? Just leaning back on the well. Hi, girl. Could you give me a drink? I want to ask you a question. If Jesus gets the drink from the woman, whose cup is he going to drink out of? Would you drink out of a prostitute's cup? Huh? I don't know where she's been. Can I have an amen, somebody? If she gives him the drink, he's got to drink from her cup because we're going to find out he doesn't have any. And how about this? If she grants him the favor and he drinks out of her cup, who owes who? Come on, I mean, you act like I'm just asking questions, just throwing them out there and don't want no response. I just want a question. Who? He owes her. Do you want to owe a prostitute? We don't want to owe each other. Can I have an answer? You're looking at me like I'm strange here now. How many of you have ever got a gift on Christmas for someone that you forgot? As a matter of fact, you didn't even think about them. And all of a sudden, here they come with a wrapped gift for you. What do you think? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't get you nothing. Now, if they're giving you something to get something, that's not a gift. Can I have an amen? And we don't like to owe each other. We'll do anything we can to get that off. I don't want that on the book. I owe them. I don't even like them. So you go in there and get a gift. Wrap it up real quick and take it over. Because you don't want to owe them. Can I have an amen? We hate owing. But Jesus is going to be owing a prostitute a favor. I know because I've gotten more Christmas gifts. Excuse me. Yeah, I got more Christmas gifts that was wedding gifts than you can ever imagine. People take them and rewrap them and forget to take the card out. Congratulations. Honey, what did we do? You hadn't told me something? We don't like the old man, but Jesus Christ, if he takes that drink of water, he is going to owe a prostitute a favor. And where's the disciples? In town, walking around, looking back. And they all know they're Jewish. How do they know they're Jewish? How did she know Jesus was a Jew? By the way they dress. They were thick out in the city of Sychar like a sore thumb. And they're walking around, and you got to admit, and they got to buy food from fools. That's what they look at them as. They got to eat food that may not be kosher. Can I get an amen from somebody? You ever walked in a restaurant and the roaches beat you out? You want to eat in that restaurant? I can't hear you. Absolutely not. And these people are worse than roaches to them. But Jesus sends them into town to get and buy food. Oh, man, do we have a Savior? Or do we have a Savior? Let's see if we can break it down a little bit. Verse 7, Jesus appeals, like we said already, to her kindness. Could you give me a drink? For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy food. Like, see, you thought I was making that up, didn't you? Send them in the city to go buy food from people they think are lower than roaches. Verse 9, then said the woman of Samaria unto him. Now, she calls him a Jew at first, and then all of a sudden, the way he's acting, he changes. And she changes. Watch what happens. Because she's going to move from him being a Jew who doesn't like her to maybe a prospect. So she's going to give him a little honor. Then said the woman to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, do you think she said that nicely? Oh, man, I know. How can it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, who is a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Why are you down here? Why are you in Samaria? Why are you at a well by yourself talking to a woman? I don't understand your plan. Now, see, we read this and we are real spiritual because we read it before. Does this woman know who Jesus is? Not at all yet. Does she know he's a Jew? And does she know how Jews treat Samaritans? And how is it that this Jew is down here at the well talking to me? It's not a spiritual conversation to her. And it won't be until he pulls the Samaritan rug out from under. How can you, a Jew, ask me for a favor? Because you know if I give it to you, you're going to owe me. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knew the gift of God, sounds like Muhammad Ali, doesn't he? Okay, some of you are too young. Sounds like Justin Bieber, doesn't it? If you knew who was standing in front of you, girl, the total gift from God. Can I get an amen or somebody? How's she taking it? This dude is off the hook. If you knew the gift of God. See, we know the story. We make it spiritual. She is a prostitute living in Samaria, having a Jew talk to her at a well down there, alone, one-on-one. If y'all knew who the gift of God, if you knew who was talking to you, girl, woo, you'd be asking, give me the drink. That would have asked me, and I would have given you some living water. Is that boy rapping? How do you think she's taking it? Wow. He's certainly not like any other Jew I've ever met. And he is laying a line on me. I mean, he tell me, you hang out with me, I can give you some living water, girl. You heard about us Christians when we get real spiritual, when we're trying to make some woman think we're more spiritual than what we are. You know, we get a little religious, don't we? You know the Christian man's pickup line, don't you, girls? Talk with you for a little while and say, says, girl, so I was reading the book of Numbers the other day and I found out I didn't have yours. Ooh-ah! Yeah, it's going to be used 5 times before the day is over. Guys are writing it down. Hadn't even wrote nothing I said up until now. Now y'all know how I got my wife. Bam! Christian lines, boy. She didn't have the slightest idea who this Jewish man is. All of a sudden she knows, man, Jesus is looking at a lost sheep, and he's pushing her to where he wants to get her to be able to hear what he has to say to her. He says some common ground. Well, thirst, living water. She don't understand it yet, but she's intrigued. Listen to what the woman says. The woman said unto him, oh, sir. Went from Jew to what? Oh, sir. Things get a little interesting down here with this man while we're alone. Sir, you don't have anything to draw with. Now, that's why we already know that Jesus don't have a cup or a bucket to dip in. Well, you don't have anything to draw the water with. And the well is deep. You know where, I mean, it's deep. And so where are you going to get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself and his sons and his what? Can I ask you a question, if it's okay? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been someplace, you know, like a bar, and you run into another Christian in the bar of the opposite sex? And the first thing you want to do is realize and find out how deeply religious they are. Because that's going to dictate what your next step's going to be. Can I get an amen? Some of you, you know what I'm saying? Well, you know, in that, you know, you're going to bar because you have a ministry. Drinks for Jesus. So if you meet another Christian there, you don't think they're as mature because they're in the bar like you. So the best way to find out is what? Ask a couple of religious questions, see where it goes. And if they don't get more spiritual, you start getting more secular. What do you think this woman's doing? Yeah, I know you're Jewish. I know you already broken Jewish law by being here. Can't be that orthodox. So she throws a test question at him. Well, you know, this well was given by Jacob to his sons. Are you telling me, big boy, that you're more spiritual and better than Jacob? Watch Jesus. If you want to learn how to witness to non-believers, you check this chapter out. It's awesome. Well, you ain't got nothing to draw with. And, you know, by the way, let's check out how spiritual you are. You know, Jacob gave this well. Verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water, oh, girl, you're going to thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I have, what is she hearing? Not what you're hearing. What is she hearing? You know, if you get this living water, girl, you'll never thirst again. But the water that comes out of his well right here, you're going to get thirsty again. But my water springing up, woo, into everlasting life, girl. I better find out about this living water stuff. I never heard nothing like that before. I've had a lot of men talk to me, but never down this road. Verse 15. The woman said unto him, sir, won't you give me some of that water? Because, you know, I don't really want to come down here anymore. Won't you give me some of that water? Can't hear you. You think she's on the spiritual plane yet? Not at all. You know why I know she's not on that plane? Watch what happens in the next parts of the conversation. Ooh, I would love some of that water. Living water. And you going to give it to me? Watch this. Jesus said, verse 16, go and get your husband and come back. Anybody ever been trying to pick up somebody and you guys having a conversation and you got to get that question in there, are they taken or not? Can't hear you. Are they married? Do they have a boyfriend? Do they have a girlfriend? You know, it's always good to find that out. Can I have an amen? Go get your husband, girl. And come on back here with him. This is smooth, isn't it? Jesus says, go get your husband. Let's see what she says. Are you taken? Are you with anybody? Are you free? She says, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Your move. You know, before I became a Christian, my young life, you say stuff like that to girls, especially Christian women. We always felt the Christian women was easy. They was bored. They never did anything anyway. So you are a prize to us non-believing guys, ladies. And you act like you are not the greatest thing God has ever made. Jackleg rappers never paid a cent for you. Jesus died on the cross for you. And you have the audacity to feel like you are nothing? Please. Come on, those Christian young girls, look at them and say, let me tell you something. I would slide down a 3-mile razor blade into a pool of alcohol just to see the dust that the dog made that saw the truck that took your clothes to the cleaners. Lying out of my teeth. Guys, you treat your friends that are girls, treat your friends that are women, and husbands, treat those women that are your wives with as much love and understanding as how they are made. I don't have a husband. Your move. Jesus says, okay. It's time to pull the Samaritan rug out from under you, girl. Because you are vulnerable right now. Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband. You had five! And the guy you're now shacking up with is not that good to you, is he? Because he was treating you right. You would be coming down here at 12 noon, hot of the day, to get buckets of water to carry back up the hill to the city. Ooh, what happens when someone busts you on your spirituality? On your religious fraud? First thing you do is you throw a little flattery out at them, try to back them off. Then you put a little defense up. Because you just got busted. You know what I thought about doing? Finding some of the bars and joints that some of our young people have a tendency, and middle age have a tendency to frequent. And just walk in with 3 or 4 elders one night. Now, Pastor, are you saying that going to bars is wrong? Come on. Yeah. What's your purpose? I try not to even in a restaurant eat in a bar. You know why? Because of my witness. If I have to, I have to. Because sometimes I'm hungry. Push them people drinking out the way. Get up, get up. Listen to the defense. No, first she's going to flattery. Throw some flattery at him. Then if that flattery don't work, she's going to put a defense on him. If the defense don't work, then she got to throw a challenge at him. Verse 19. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. She goes from Jew to sir to who? Well, I see that you are a prophet. You done busted me. No one knew about this, especially Jews. And all of a sudden you told me I don't have a husband except the last 5 didn't work out. And you got to understand something about the day and time, guys. There was no alimony. Women didn't have any rights. And if husband walked off and rode around and gave him a writ of divorce, they could starve. There was no government stepping up to help her. You can see where she may be. And she's moved in with someone thinking that she can, save money. But you know what? Since you're a prophet, let me throw a little defense on you and see if you can answer it with my challenge. Our father worship in this mountain. Mm-hmm. Up here, you know, right here, where you at now. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me. The hour is going to come when you shall neither in the mount, in this mountain or at Jerusalem worship the Father. Can I get an amen? Oh, you want to throw a challenge at me, girl? You want to see what my answer is going to be? You want me to tell you which mountain is more important? The mountain isn't important. God's important. And just because you think you ought to worship on this mountain, or you ought to come to this church, or you ought to feel good about being on Sundays, that is not enough. It's about God. What are you doing for God? How are you growing in God? How much time do you spend with him every day, knowing what he expects out of you? And I need to know what he expects out of me. What is your relationship with God like? Not the rituals, not the church. And I love what Jesus is getting ready to say. Because every evangelistic class you can go to will tell you, don't say stuff like this to turn people off. If you love someone, honestly, you remember what the Bible says, the truth shall set you free. Not sensitivity. We got a lot of sensitivity with a bunch of lies going on. He says, you worship what you don't even know. We know what it is to worship, for salvation is of the Jew. Woo! You want to make a Samaritan upset and mad? You're going to turn around and tell this Samaritan woman who has given her whole life to this lifestyle, you don't know what you're talking about. I do. Because salvation is to the Jew, girl, not to the Samaritan, not to anyone else. First time I read that, I thought I misread it, because I thought Jesus says, well, you know, it's okay if you believe that way, because there are many ways to God. And your way can be just as right as mine, because you got to believe what you want to believe, and I believe what I want to believe, and you're okay, and I'm okay. He didn't say that. Oh, he says, let me tell you now, straightforward, you don't know what you're worshiping, girl. You Samaritan don't know what you're worshiping. Salvation is to the Jew. You guys want to know the equivalent to that statement? I think I explained it one time. It's like the Ku Klux Klan walking up to me and saying, you black people don't have the slightest idea what you think. You are wrong. Salvation is to the white man. Multiply the example I just gave you times 10, and you won't get close to what Jesus said to that Samaritan woman. But guess what happened when he told her the truth? Man, I do look like a barcode, don't I? Let's finish up there. Verse 24. He says, if you're going to worship God, you got to worship God in spirit and in truth. You can't worship him if there is not spirit and truth. You know how much worship we sing and songs we sing when we're not doing it in spirit and truth? We're just singing. And a lot of times, if you were looking at the words and really watch the word, we are singing a lie right in front of God. All to Jesus I surrender. Can't hear you. You know that isn't true in most of our lives. So we ought to put an addendum to the song. All to Jesus except this and this and this and this. But the rest of it, did you just worship God if you sung that song and didn't mean it, didn't understand what you're saying and understanding what you're giving him? There was no truth there? Did you do it in the power of the Spirit when you walk in? That's not worship if it's not done in spirit and in truth. And Jesus says it clear as clear can be. You want to worship God? Do it in spirit and truth. Well, if you do that, Pastor, I mean, you know, we can run folks off. Well, I didn't know the standing up for God's word was about building the church in numbers. Can I get an amen? Oh, man, this church over here is bigger than yours. This church over here, is smaller than you, man. You must be doing a lot better than them because, man, they're a lot smaller than you. Wow, man, I'm glad I'm here because I don't want to go to that church there. I don't want to go to that church there, man, because, you know, ooh, they're smaller. They're bigger. I mean, you need to go to that one. Something's going on over there. Who? Let me give you a secret. You want to talk about size? And that means God is in it? You better change your theology because Mormons is kicking us all over. And they believe Jesus and Satan are brothers. Muslims. You know the fastest growing religion in the world? Muslims. Man, if it's about size, we better change our theology. Next week, wait till you hear the sermon. I'm going to smoke it up. And if I change it, y'all smoke me up. Can I have an amen? Here we go. We got to finish this. And upon this came his disciples. And they was marveling that he was talking to this woman. And not one man had guts enough to ask him, what's going on, Jesus? Why are you talking to this woman? You just went into town. Now, check this out now. You just went into town. You had to walk around to find a grocery store or a restaurant. You just spent time talking, and you come back down here with just a lunch. I've already got food that you guys can't pick up for me. I've done more witnessing with this one woman down here at the well than you did with all the people in Sychar walking around looking for lunch. But watch what's going to happen, guys. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men. She said it to who? I can't hear you. What? Think she know a lot of men? Can't hear you. She probably know quite a few men. Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? What? City empty. All the guys are coming down to see if Jesus used their name. All the women are coming down to see if their husband's name was moved. Does Jesus know how to empty a city? He picks a prostitute. Now, you and I would never pick a prostitute to win a city. We would have had a big evangelist go in. Heavy-duty preacher. We would have spent thousands upon thousands of dollars of advertisement. And we may get 300 or 400 people out in a whole city. And we would think, wow, Pentecost all over again. But Jesus sends a prostitute that is, he has taken her from thinking he's a Jew to the Messiah, and she brings out the whole city. Don't ever think you're smarter than God. Don't ever think you're smarter than God, because the ways of God always works. Can I have an amen? Sorry, we went over time, but I'm not sorry. I got to be in chapter 6 by April 8. Want to talk about feeding the 5,000 when we get all them visitors. Ooh, what a sermon. Ladies and gentlemen, we have an awesome God. And don't be prejudiced towards those that you think you're better than. Don't dehumanize them. Be like Christ. He has a plan. You don't compromise 1 hour. But we do not think that we're better than someone else. Those of you that are visiting, thank you so much. I'm going to be up front here. Want to say hello to you. Got a gift for you. Make sure that I get a chance to meet you. In Jesus' most holy, precious, and loving name, Father, this is your word. May we never be the same after hearing it. May we know what it means to worship you in spirit and in truth. Nothing more important than that. Thank you for our visitors, that we may be able to say hello and see if we can give them a blessing as they're leaving. In Jesus' name we all say.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.